From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Once again, we count it a privilege to welcome you to Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns continues this series of studies in the Book of Acts as he brings the opening portion of a message entitled, Fettered Hearts. Dr. Cairns will be with us shortly. First of all, please enjoy this devotional thought from C.H. Spurgeon's collection, Morning by Morning.
This morning's text is found in Psalm 66 and verse 20. Blessed be God, which hath not turned away my prayer. In looking back on the character of our prayers, if we do it honestly, we shall be filled with wonder that God has ever answered them. There may be some who think their prayers worthy of acceptance, as the Pharisee did, but the true Christian, in a more enlightened retrospect, weeps over his prayers, and if he could retrace his steps, he would desire to pray more earnestly. Remember, Christian, how cold thy prayers have been. When in thy closet thou shouldst have wrestled as Jacob did, but instead thy petitions have been faint and few, far removed from that humble, believing, persevering faith, which cries, I will not let thee go except thou bless me. Yet, wonderful to say, God has heard these cold prayers of thine, and not only heard, but answered them. Reflect also how unfrequent have been thy prayers, unless thou hast been in trouble, and then thou hast gone often to the mercy seat. But when deliverance has come, where has been thy constant supplication? Yet, notwithstanding thou hast ceased to pray as once thou didst, God has not ceased to bless. When thou hast neglected the mercy seat, God has not deserted it, but the bright light of the Shekinah has always been visible between the wings of the cherubim. Oh, it is marvelous that the Lord should regard those intermittent spasms of importunity which come and go with our necessities. What a God is He thus to hear the prayers of those who come to Him when they have pressing wants, but neglect Him when they have received the mercy, who approach Him when they are forced to come, but who almost forget to address Him when mercies are plentiful and sorrows are few. Let His gracious kindness in hearing such prayers touch our hearts, so that we may henceforth be found praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit.
God's throne of grace is there for you. Come boldly to Him, there's grace ever new. His grace will meet
throne of grace. grace. His mercy will keep you till the end of the race. When trials oppress you and burdens distress you, come boldly to God's throne of grace. Come boldly to God's throne of grace.
As believers in Jesus Christ seek to witness to the unsaved, they are frequently met by a variety of questions. These might include such queries as, why did Christ have to be God? Did God create evil? Or, how do we know the Bible is the Word of God? Dr. Cairns answers these and many other questions on a DVD presentation called Q&A with Alan Cairns. In all, Dr. Cairns responds to over 50 such concerns. We're happy to be able to provide you, free of charge, a DVD containing all of these video portions, about 5 hours of guidance from God's Word for problems which face the 21st century Christian. You may have a copy simply by requesting it. Just ask for the DVD, Q&A with Alan Cairns. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. You may call us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. If you wish, you may write to us at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Here's an excellent way to provide scriptural answers to family and friends regarding the challenging questions facing believers in this day. In chapters 25 and 26 of the book of Acts, Paul is a prisoner of the Romans and is given the opportunity to speak before eminent government officials, the governor Festus, King Herod Agrippa, and Agrippa's wife Bernice. In the previous message, we saw Paul, the man with fettered hands, for Roman prisoners were always in chains. Yet, among the four characters pictured here, only Paul is truly free. The others are in bondage to their own particular sins. Dr. Cairns will give us a view of Festus, a man guilty of infidelity who scoffs at the gospel, Bernice living in incest with her brother Agrippa, and King Agrippa himself, a man who believed the scriptures, but who rejected salvation because of what it would cost him. Now here is Dr. Cairns to introduce a message called Fettered Hearts.
We're turning again this morning to the 25th and 26th chapters of the book of Acts. We're reading a few verses in chapter 25. We'll commence there at verse 22. Acts 25, verse 22. We read together verse 22 and verse 23, then chapter 26, and we'll read the first three verses, then right at the end of chapter 26, a few verses again. Acts 25, 22. Then Agrippa said unto Festus, I would also hear the man myself. Tomorrow, said he, thou shalt hear him. And on the morrow, when Agrippa was come, and Bernice, with great pomp, and was entered into the place of hearing, with the chief captains and principal men of the city, at Festus' commandment, Paul was brought forth. Chapter 26, verse 1. Then Agrippa said unto Paul, Thou art permitted to speak for thyself. Then Paul stretched forth the hand and answered for himself, I think myself happy, King Agrippa, because I shall answer for myself this day before thee, touching all the things whereof I am accused of the Jews, especially because I know thee to be expert in all customs and questions which are among the Jews. Wherefore I beseech thee to hear me patiently. And then reading at verse 22, breaking into Paul's testimony, Having therefore obtained help of God, I continue unto this day, witnessing both to small and great, saying none other things than those which the prophets and Moses did say should come, that Christ should suffer, and that he should be the first that should rise from the dead, and should show light unto the people and to the Gentiles. And as he thus spake for himself, Festus said with a loud voice, Paul, thou art beside thyself. Much learning doth make thee mad. But he said, I am not mad, most noble Festus, but speak forth the words of truth and soberness. For the king knoweth of these things, before whom also I speak freely. For I am persuaded that none of these things are hidden from him. For this thing was not done in a corner. King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? I know that thou believest. Then Agrippa said unto Paul, Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. And Paul said, I would to God that not only thou, but also all that hear me this day, were both almost and altogether such as I am, except these bonds. When he had thus spoken, the king rose up, and the governor, and Bernice, and they that sat with them. And when they were gone aside, they talked between themselves, saying, This man doeth nothing worthy of death or of bonds. Then said Agrippa unto Festus, This man might have been set at liberty, if he had not appealed unto Caesar. The Lord will add his own blessing to this reading from his word for his name's sake. Last Lord's Day morning, we noted that there are four characters who sum up very simply, and yet I think comprehensively, the contents of Acts chapter 25 and 26. You may remember last Lord's Day I said that these chapters brought us face to face with fettered hands and fettered hearts. Paul, the first of the four characters, we considered last week as the man with the fettered hands. And now we come to look at the other three characters. And these are those who thought that they were really free, whereas in truth they were really bound. They looked on Paul as a prisoner, whereas God looked on them as the prisoners, and Paul was the Lord's free man. So here in these three we have the fettered hearts. We have first of all Festus, and then we have Bernice, and then finally we have King Agrippa. And as we consider them, we will find that each one of these people had a heart that was fettered in a particular way. Now we want, first of all and briefly, to look at Festus. And I think that here was a man whose heart was fettered by ignorance and by infidelity. There are many words which could be used to describe the character of Festus, the Roman governor. But as we read chapters 25 and 26 of the book of Acts, we can see how he liked to be thought of, the sort of image he tried to project of himself. I have no doubt that he looked upon himself as an urbane kind of character. He looked on himself as detached, learned, certainly successful, superior, outspoken. But I think you can add a little more than that, and you can certainly say when you read these chapters, you will find the typical arrogant Roman conqueror. In chapter 25 of the book of Acts and in verse 18, we have the words of Festus to Agrippa. And he says, against Paul, when the accusers stood up, they brought none accusation of those things as I supposed, but had certain questions against him of their own superstitions. Now, that's how Festus thought of all the doctrines of the Word of God. That's how Festus thought of the great discussion and debate between the Jews and Paul as to the Messiahship of Jesus Christ, as to the death and bodily resurrection of Christ. He said these were matters of mere superstition. Now, it is true to say that some learned men point out that the word that he used is an ambiguous word. It can mean simply religions or religious thoughts or religious ideas. But I think you'll find that Paul, or that Festus, was speaking here as a Roman. And he was using the word not as a Greek would use it, but as a Roman would use it. He was using it with all the hatred and the venom of a Roman judge against Christ. And he was saying that all these things are mere superstitions. Now you can see this high and mighty, learned, educated, self-opinionated and arrogant man of the world. And he looks down his nose at those who would squabble about such superstitions as to whether Jesus is the Christ or not. And yet, you know, Festus was a product of Rome. And Rome was more blatantly, brazenly, and brutishly idolatrous and superstitious than practically any city in the world at that time. It was a city of whom it could be said, as Paul said of Athens, it was wholly given to idolatry. They took the gods of all the places they had conquered and they brought them all in. And in case they weren't getting the right god for the right occasion or for the right trouble, then they had a god that covered the whole lot. So they would worship just about anything in any shape or form and ascribe deity to it. So they had idolatry. They had polytheism, the worship of very many gods, with all the superstitions that went with such heathen notions. And yet here is this man who has been cradled in the most vicious of superstitions. And he mockingly points the finger at both Judaism and Christianity. He dismisses them with one word. He says, superstition. When I got to thinking about that, I realized that Festus may be personally dead, and he is, but there is a very numerous following of Festus in the world today. We have all come up against those learned men, those people who, having received a little education, think they know more than God Almighty. And to them, revealed religion deserves merely the term superstition, while all the time they hold to the vainest of superstitions. I think the most outstanding example of this is the modern, highly educated, and self-opinionated evolutionist. You couldn't ask me to believe in an eternal God with eternal and infinite intelligence who created all things out of nothing by the mere word of his power. No, you couldn't ask me. After all, I have been beyond the third grade and I have learned a little bit. You couldn't ask me to believe in such a thing. But then the evolutionist will go on. I remember reading one of the most brilliant scientists this country has produced in this century. And he said, and he was a little more honest than the rest, we don't believe in spontaneous generation. That is, that nothing suddenly gave birth to something for no reason and with no cause behind it. We don't believe it's impossible. But it happened. There you are, it happened. Sir Julian Huxley, America hasn't the curse upon it of being able to claim him as its own. He belongs all to England. But Sir Julian Huxley told his students that if you take a book, let me just see, I think we have here about a book this thick, and you take the first page and you put a one there, and you print the rest of the 500 pages in zeros, every one of them, he says, now giving every advantage that the evolutionist can claim, taking things to happen as the evolutionist says they'll happen at the optimum rate under optimum conditions, put a one on the front page and fill every other page with zeros, and he says that is if you put one in all that number, I couldn't begin to pronounce the number, one in all that number, that is the chance of a horse coming about by evolution. And he says, of course, the horse is the outstanding example of evolution. Another outstanding scientist, a gentleman again from this country, says if you go to your television set and you let a monkey at it and tear out all the connections, every part of it, and put them there with Mr. Chimp, the chances of the chimpanzee putting them back in such a way, not only all the connections, but all the parts, by the way, put the chances of the chimp putting them all back in such a way as to give you a better picture at the end of the day than when you began, he said, that's the chance of evolution happening, but it happened. We don't have to go to the scientific world, you go to the theological world. I know that, and you know that all across this country, which was once blessed by great preaching and great preachers, there has come a race of ungodly false prophets, apostates of deepest dye, who have been cursing the land with their false preachings. And they say, you couldn't ask us to believe in an infallible Bible. We're educated people. We have learned English. We have learned Greek. We have learned a Hebrew. We have learned this, we have learned that. Don't ask us to believe in an infallible Bible. But then they get up and they tell us about an infallible man. You see, what it comes down to is God can be wrong, but I can't. Festus all over again. Revealed religion, superstition, but man's superstition, they tell us, is nothing but glorious truth. Well, Festus was a fool at the end of the day, and his offsprings, spiritually speaking, are fools as well. And then there are those who, like Festus, want to judge God by the standards of Almighty Man, and they want to take the limitations which man dreams up and impose them upon God. Here's Paul preaching about the resurrection. Now, there's a very nice thing that we find out about Paul. Festus said to Agrippa that Paul affirmed that Jesus was raised from the dead. Now, the tense of the verb that Festus used is the imperfect tense, which means simply this: Paul kept on affirming that Jesus was risen from the dead. Man, that's what I like about Paul. Once he got his teeth in a thing, he never let it go. He didn't deviate off onto a lot of other little notions. He was faced with the Jews in the one hand and Festus in the other, and Paul kept preaching this: Jesus died and rose again. Get it? And when they didn't get it, he preached it again, and he preached it again, and he preached it again. Now, things were no different then than they are now. People would have been willing to flock to Paul if he had gone to give them a lecture on prophecy. If Paul had wanted to tell them about what the Bible said about Soviet Russia, Communist China, Vietnam, Australia, America, British Israel, and all the rest of it, I have no doubt that people would have been tickled pink to hear him talk about it. But you see, Paul was not in business to fool people with crazy little ideas. Paul was in business to save people. Once they could save them, they could spend all the time they wanted researching prophecy. But he realized, what's the use of a man learning my theory of prophecy if he goes to hell at the end of the day? So he began, and he continued, and he continued, and he concluded on the one theme: preaching Christ crucified and risen from the dead.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there is a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we Let the Bible Speak.